cut it, it'll bleed.
If you cut it, it'll bleed. From Genesis to Revelations. It's a bleeding Bible. It's a blood-filled Bible. In Genesis, when Adam and Eve first sinned and tried to cover themselves, God came and slew and covered them with the skins of animals, shed blood. Hebrews says, without the remission of sins, that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And all the way back in Revelation, nothing could be done without the slain Lamb of God. It's a Bible chock full of blood. The most significant blood was the blood of Jesus, though. Because one drop, the first drop that was shed, the first drop that was let loose out of the body of Christ meant sinners would be saved. The promise of God would be fulfilled. And we are standing here. We are sitting here. If you're saved, you are here for one reason and one reason only. Because the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing more, nothing less. Nothing more, nothing less. I'm a pastor here at Flat Top Independent Church, and we've been blessed with a huge amount of growth over the last 2.5 years. On Sunday morning, it's not unheard of for us to have 100 people in Sunday school. That's organic. We never said if you get 100 people, the pastor will take a pie in the face. Because he's not going to. And he said, you know, if you have this many, we're going to do this special event. We're going to have this. You know what happened? People just showed up. And I wonder sometimes, did people show up because there's a religious thing going on here, and or are they showing up because they truly know and love Jesus Christ? And we go into these adult classes, and they're so full that sometimes they have to set the seats funny. People have to sit in the middle of the class. People have to come in here and grab extra chairs and go back and sit in there. It's kind of awesome to watch as these classes fill up. But I wonder how many of you come because you love Jesus, or you just found a good church and you really like being here. We love having you. But the main thing's Jesus. And we got all kinds of religious stuff to do. We're going to sing. We're going to praise. We're going to preach. We're going to serve. We're going to reach out into the community. We're going to try to reach out into the world. Amen. We're going to try to clothe people, feed people. We're going to try to do stuff. But the most important thing we have is Jesus. In the Bible where we're at today, there was a man, one man, singular. And I think that's what I'm after today, is one. Not really, but one's enough. Amen? One's enough. I was thinking about this as we was preparing. Mark chapter 15, verse 21, if you would. This man's mentioned in three other Gospels. Mark, Luke, and Matthew. But I chose Mark because there's more detail. Let's just go to Mark 15, verse 20. We'll do 21. And maybe 22 as well. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to be crucified. That's Jesus. See, at this point, he had been beaten beyond all recognition. He had lost more blood than a man should be able to lose and still function. Most people died at the place where they flogged him and tortured him. Most people died there, but we got healed there. Through his stripes, we are healed. We got healed there. Jesus almost died there. He got beaten beyond all recognition. The Bible says it this way, if you would have seen him on the day that he got took to the cross, the day before, you wouldn't have recognized him on the cross. He was beaten to a point that his head would swell. His body was transformed and changed, even to the point that probably the only person that would ever recognize him would be his mom. Because moms always recognize their kids. I just threw that in there for good measure. He couldn't carry his own cross. He'd gotten so weak from the beating that he started out with the cross. Amen? but he couldn't carry it by himself. Man, that's good. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him. That's verse 20 and verse 21. And they compelled one Simon of Cyrene, who passed by coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. Verse 22, and they bring him unto the place of Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of the skull. Simon came for Passover, traveled out of a little Greek province, and maybe brought his two boys with him. Come on, sons, we're going to church. I wish more dads would do that, but come on, boys, we're going to worship God in Jerusalem. It's Passover time. We're just going to go up there and we're going to do our part and we're going to leave. We're going to have church. We're going to go, you know, just get your best clothes, get your best time. Let's go. We're going to go up there. It's just us. I don't know where the wife is. It doesn't really matter at this point. But he was in the crowd. Quite like you were in the crowd this morning. And all of a sudden, he's standing in the crowd. Jesus can't carry his cross. He went up there for a religious meeting. He went up there just to be a part of church. Maybe to check off the fact that he had went to Jerusalem again this year and got all of his stuff taken care of. Maybe you're here this morning. You're just to check off the fact that you can't go out and talk to the church. God's going to do as you're doing with God. Man, what a good deal. I'm sort of thinking about maybe there's some people in here. Maybe there's a woman. Somebody to pick it up. They were looking for somebody to pick that cross up. I wonder if there's any woman in here, a woman, that would go and pick that cross up and say, you know what? Things are getting hard on me. Life's bound up. My marriage ain't great. Something's going on with my kids. A cross that I never seen coming fell right in my way. I'm not going to give up on my marriage. I ain't going to give up on my kids. I ain't going to give up on my sobriety. I ain't going to give up on Jesus. I ain't going to give up on my church. I ain't going to give up on God. I ain't going to give up. Is there any woman in here? Get up. Maybe take that cross and fail. There's somebody. There's somebody. It's a blessing. Anybody like to join? That's three ladies there. I guess it's only three.
going on, Lord. They embrace what's going on. That they make it to their ministry, Lord God. They'll pick it up and carry it and walk with it and talk with it and glorify God in it. Lord, I pray for every woman that came forth this morning who took up that cross. We're saying, God, it looks overwhelming. It looks scary. Things are going on in my life. Lord, I pray that you would help me carry the burden. I might have made a mistake this morning. But if you get women worse, then I don't know what you're going to stop.
Yeah.
I don't want to get them
stopped.
Yeah. Maybe there's a man in here. You don't talk very much, because men don't talk, do they? You got issues, you got problems, you got things going on. You're stressed out. When people ask you, how's everything going, you say it's all right. But you're contemplating. You're thinking. Maybe there's a man in here this morning that you thought about ending it all. You thought about committing suicide. Because it'd be easier for you to commit suicide than for you to live, because of all the pressure that's on you to be the man that you're supposed to be. You ain't got the job that you thought you'd have, the house you thought you'd have, the wife you thought you'd have, the kids you thought you'd have. Maybe you thought, man, I'll just end it because it's hard being a man. But it's hard to come up here and take this cross. Maybe there's a man in here who's struggling to be the spiritual leader of your home. You're having a hard time. Maybe you're having a hard time.
Maybe there's a college-age kid in here. You're struggling with drugs and alcohol. You're struggling with lying to your parents. You're struggling with peer pressure. You're struggling that you were raised in church. You were brought to church. One of y'all can have that. You can have that cross. Take that cross with you. Take it with you. Y'all can have that cross. You're struggling. You was raised in church. You was in the youth group. You know what God is. You know who He is. Your mom and your dad raised you. But when you leave here on every Sunday, when you leave here on Wednesday, I don't even know if you even leave here or not. You've made it back here.
having sex outside of marriage. Everything that's going on outside of this church is contrary. You're about 19 to about 28 years old, and your life is upside down. It's not comparable. When you come in here, you look a certain way, you talk a certain way, and you act a certain way, but it's totally contrary to the way you are. But God is asking you today, if you will, take up your cross and carry it to college, to carry it to work in your 20s. To carry it in this community in your 20s. God needs one, not a bunch, one. He needs one kid, one 20-something-year-old young man, one 20-year-old-something young girl who will say, you know what? I'm going to stop using drugs. I'm going to stop sleeping around. I'm going to stop lying to my parents. I'm going to stop. I'm going to be a light in this dark world. I'm going to take the gospel wherever I go. Listen, we need somebody in here who will say, you know what? I'm tired of playing the game. I know there's just a few. There's just a handful of you college-age kids in here. But is there anybody in here who will take up their cross and say, you know what? I'm going to serve God. I don't care what everybody else is doing. Or are we going to leave? Well, I guess we'll just leave that cross there. Simon came that day. He wasn't coming to do something spiritual. He wasn't coming to carry the cross. He wasn't going to do something like that. He wasn't a rash person. He just came to Jerusalem to worship God, and he got caught up with Jesus. And Jesus was passing by, and he dropped his cross. He dropped his cross, and it changed Simon's life. He said, hey, you, get under this cross. Simon's like, why would me? Thrust under a cross that he never thought he'd have to carry. Dear Chief, you asked him today, I was glad that he put me up under the cross. I started thinking of another group of people. This is our teenage group. You go to school, I mean, we give you about an hour a year. That's Sunday morning. We give you another hour of your worship. It's not always an hour we give you through. But the whole time you go to school, you're hearing something totally different. You're being taught a whole different set of facts about Earth and the world. You got friends that are telling you totally different stuff. And your time is monopolized by them way more than us. We give you about 3 to 4 hours a week. They give you probably 30 to 40 hours a week. Yet, in our middle schools and in our high schools, we need somebody who will say, you know what? I'm going to take up my cross. I'm going to be different. I'm going to be rejected, I'm going to be reviled, and I'm probably going to be hated because I'm going to take up my cross. I'm going to walk through the halls of my school, and I'm going to let people know that I'm a Christian. Not a bunch of, because I know it don't cost a bunch. Listen, I'm talking about one. I'm just talking about one person, maybe, maybe more, but one person who will say, you know what? I'm going to be known and recognized for one thing and one thing only, that when the cross drops in my life, I'll pick it up. And I'm going to carry my cross, my Jesus, in the halls of my school, around my peer group, during the football games, during the times after the football games. When people are having parties and drinking beer and smoking dope, I'm going to carry my cross. And I'm going to try to rescue other kids. Maybe one, maybe two, maybe 3 at a time. Because the church, the pastor, I'm not coming to your school on a regular basis. Your mom and dad, they're not coming to your school on a regular basis. We're trying to send you into a place where you can be a light unto a lost and dying world. And yes, we will be criticized. Yes, it will be hard. But yes, it will be worth it. When the little girl has to try to decide whether she's going to have a church. You're a secretary here, a janitor here, a councilman here, a pastor here, a Sunday school teacher here, a youth leader here. Are you going to be a leader in our church? Are you going to teach with passion instead of have to? Are you going to lead with passion? Just, oh, I've got to show up again. We need teachers, we need leaders, we need counselors who will love people and love God's calling and love God's mission and love God's people. Who will say, I'll serve, not because I have to, but because I want to. I'll take up this cross and I'll walk with this cross because you know what? It's necessary. It's necessary. If our leaders won't carry a cross, who's going to carry the cross for our church? Stop complaining about positions. Stop complaining about situations. And take up your cross and serve this church and serve the people of this church and serve the community in this area with a passion and a desire to see souls saved. God, help us be the leaders that we need to be in this church. God, we're not smart enough, we're not talented enough, we're not good enough. Lord, we want to see souls saved. We want to see lives changed. Give us a passion and a fire and a desire. God, let us forgive one another. Let us love one another. Let us go after you with a passion. We inspire other people to go after you with passion. Everything we do here, help us be focused on you all. We do it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want y'all to keep that cross. It's the last cross I have. This is the last cross I have. I pastor this church. I preach
probably about 4 days a week, sometimes five. And I preach to people in a lot of different places, but my main ministry is here. And one of the hardest things I have to convey to you, one of the hardest things it is that I see as a minister preaching to people is this. That I see people who hear the gospel, who hear about Jesus and hear good messages and hear good singing. And they know it's good and they come to church and they leave church. There's a lot of saved people here, don't get me wrong. But there's a lot of people who come in here who just don't know if Jesus is enough. Is he better than my boyfriend? Is he better than my girlfriend? Is he better than my husband? Is he better than my wife? Is he better than my job? Is he better than my money? Is he better than what I got going on outside of me? Because see, you've come to God's church, but you're not a part of God's church. See, when you truly understand who Jesus is, listen, I want you to hear this. When you truly understand who Jesus is, you get everything. You would give everything. You would give up your job, your marriage, your home, your kids, your life. You would give it up now because you know what? You understand that everything exists and everything is held together by him and through him. Somebody says, well, I've got this thing that if I do this, my family's going to hate me. Guess what? It's worth it. It's worth it.
Amen.
It's all right. Jesus' family hated him. I've had my family hate me too. You know what? It's worth it. Because the ones that hate you today might come to Christ tomorrow. He's enough. He's enough. You can trust him. Don't keep coming to church because he don't want you just to come to church. He wants you to come to him. And you know what happens when you get him? He does radical things too. You start giving when you don't have enough to give. You go when you're terrified to go. You reach your hand, you volunteer when everybody else you volunteer when it's you. You're like, oh, I'll do it. It's because God is a radical God. When he saves you, he sends you on radical missions. So let me tell you something.
because it's no longer about you. It's about Him. And that lasts for eternity. This last cross is not one you come up and take. This last cross is one you come up and get under and say, God, I don't want to just go to church. I want you to have my whole life. I want you to use my whole life. I don't care what you do with it. My name is so-and-so, and here's a blank check for the rest of my life. It's no longer about me. It's about you. Let's all stand as He plays a song of invitation. Come seek the Lord. Come seek the Lord. If you're not saved this morning, if you've got any doubt, any question about your salvation, step out and come. Come. Just step out and say, you know what? I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. There's people coming. Come pray. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. There's people stepping out. Come on.